As Gary said, my name is Dean Woolley. For those of you who don't know me, one of the elders here at COTR, and I get the privilege today to talk to you about our house churches. You know, once a year we take a Sunday to talk about our house churches and why we do them, why they're important. And today's that day. And as the elder that oversees our house churches, it is my honor, my privilege to get to speak to you today about it. One of the things, just 10 minutes ago, I was sitting back there and, you know, during worship, and it struck me, I'm looking at my notes and I think, wow, I didn't anywhere and ever in here say what our house churches are. So, you know, our house churches are small groups. You know, different churches call them different things. You know, some churches call them cell groups, some call them home churches, some call them, you know, small groups, home fellowships. You know, you pick your name. We call them house churches, small groups of people that get together, you know, every other week or so, meet for a couple hours, share, we talk, we pray, we worship. So I want to talk some about that today, you know, why we have them here at Church on the Rock. I've spoken to you in the past few years about this, you know, once a year, and in the past I've held off introducing the house church leaders to the end. Well, this year I felt like I was supposed to do it differently. I don't know why, but there you go. So I wanted to introduce the house church leaders to you. I want you to see their faces, know who they are. And I've asked them to give you, you know, 2 minutes or less of, you know, what's their group about, when do they meet, where do they meet, how often do they meet, all those kind of good things. And I told them, if, you know, if God lays anything else on your heart, you know, to share about it, go ahead and do that as well. I'm trying to keep them short. But if you've been around this church for any length of time, you'll recognize these folks as people that do a lot more than lead house churches. But let me bring them up and let them speak to you. Tim and Anna Fetterman. Tim and Anna have a group. They have a group that meets here every other week, and they can tell you about their group. Gary and Bonnie Stebbins have a group that meets on Thursdays. Carl Hatch. Cheryl Sherman. Cheryl has a group that I think she started in November, I think it was, thereabouts. It's our newest house church. And then my wife Connie and I have a group. And Connie's in the back somewhere. But let them take just a minute or two and talk about their group.
My group meets every week on Thursday evenings. I live in the north end of Melbourne, so it's some of you are more south end people. It's harder to get to the house, but I also outreach not only just to church members, but I have friends in the community that come to the group. Our main goal, I feel, that God has given us to do in our home groups is to share His word and the life of His word in each one of us individually. I guess one way to put it is that we ask God to mine us, to dig deep inside of us and find out who we are and what we're about and why He made us and what that looks like. And then to give an accountability for that, we talk about stuff and then I say, the evening's over, but my call to them is for them to go out and put what we talked about into practice and then come back the next week and talk about what practice looked like. My understanding of what God is sharing in the group is that God is not worried about right or wrong. He's concerned about whether we do what he asks us to do. And then we mine the results of that and grow and mature in him. And he, as I said earlier, he expands us to the depths of himself. And so on Thursday nights, four nights out of the month, from 7 to 9 o'clock, we meet.
Our group started as the Lord was speaking to me. I was at the welcome desk, and some ladies come by, and they were saying they don't have a place where they really fit in. These women were widows. Some were divorced. And I prayed for them. And the Lord spoke to me to open my house. Now, I'm married, live in a small home, and I had kind of misgivings. I said to the Lord, what about parking? I'm not a widow. All these things. And the Lord said, Cheryl, can you make a pot of coffee? So I did. I invited a few of the women in the church that I knew who were widows. And then I looked up the word widow, and it doesn't necessarily mean just someone whose husband died. Widow is a woman who has a blank spot in her home where a husband or even a child used to be. So I have people who are recent widows, those who have been a widow for quite some time, those who have lost a child, and some very wonderful things happen around my table over a cup of coffee. Now, I do not counsel, I do not teach, it's not a Bible study. You see on television the show The Talk or The View. Well, this is The Talk, only with Jesus Christ. There is a lot of encouragement. I've seen women come in tears and then laugh so hard I have to take the tissues out because they're in tears again. A lot comes out around my table. And all I'm doing is facilitating. All I'm doing is putting out a pot of coffee, maybe a plate of cookies. And these women are a blessing to me. Gives me a chance to serve. And it's every Thursday at 1 p.m.
Hi, we meet every other Wednesday, or first and third Wednesday. We meet back in the Kingdom Club back there. I wanted to recognize our assistants, Ed and Angie, if you stand up real quick. We're a really important part of our team. So some of our main focuses, we love to worship, so we start every meeting with worship. And we're really about building relationships. So we like to eat together, we like to celebrate birthdays, and we like to study God's word together. And so we do all those things to varying degrees in each meeting, and we would love to have you.
I've not done. Yes, we started doing the home fellowship. We've been doing it about 12 years now, so it's been quite an exciting adventure. We really do like to find out what God's doing in each other's lives. It's really important to be encouraged by the things that people are struggling with and how God takes them through that struggle. And we do special things. A couple of weeks ago, we went to see a movie together, and then we went out to lunch, and we just get time beyond just church. So we help with needs. We help with walking alongside people, because this is a tough journey sometimes. And Ed and Angie are wonderful. Ed taught last week in our home group about healing the land, about healing the Indian River Lagoon, and it was wonderful. So we have a lot of variety. God is so expansive, so he wants us to have all that as part of our foundation. So we really enjoy what we do.
Bonnie and I have a group that meets the second and fourth Thursday nights back in the Kingdom Club, 7 p.m., second and fourth Thursday nights. Pastor Aaron and his wife Brandy are our assistants, and so we have a good time. We have three main focuses. One is to build relationships, which is a little more difficult to do here on Sunday morning. So in a smaller group, you can build relationships. Two, to study the Word of God. And three, to develop our spiritual gifting by ministering to one another. And so each meeting we gather together, we dig deeper into the Sunday morning sermon, and then we take some time to pray over one another prophetically, allowing people the opportunity to grow in their spiritual gifting. And we also have childcare. So if you are a family with young children, we offer childcare, another good reason to come to our group. If you don't have children, you can still come. Yeah, you're right, right.
Okay. Connie, do you want to say anything? Okay. I didn't think she would, but my wife Connie and I have a group that meets on we meet on the first and third Wednesdays. We meet at our house in West Melbourne. Similar to what you've heard from everybody else, you know, it's about building relationships. It's about praying together, praying for each other, praying with each other. You know, we laugh, we eat, fellowship, and study the Word. Talk about the things God's doing. Again, I've asked these guys to ladies to be available to stay out in the foyer for a few minutes after the service if you wanted to ask them questions or find out more information about their group. There's also out in the foyer, there's the house churches and small groups flyer in the rack out there in the lobby in the foyer that gives you the information about when the groups meet, where they're at, all those kind of good things. So hopefully by the time I'm done, you'll be encouraged to want to seek some of these folks out and find a group if you're not part of one. So I also wanted to say to each of the leaders, on behalf of the elders, on behalf of the congregation, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the time, the effort you put into it. I know it's a time sink for all of us, and I appreciate it. The elders appreciate it. And most importantly, our Heavenly Father appreciates it. So I commend you and I bless you for your service, for what you do. So here we go. You know, I submit to you that house churches are a vital part of our life here at COTR. And hopefully in your personal life as well. You know, we've tried over the years, you know, to come up with a list, or I have at least. I've built a list of things that, you know, I'm hoping our house churches are doing. And I title this list kind of my, you know, what's in it for me list. You know, what's in it for me as a member of a house church? What do I get out of it? You know, house churches, we want them to be a place, and you've heard some of this, you know, we want them to be a place where we can experience and encounter the presence of God, the presence of Christ. We want them to be a place where we can worship together, where we can grow together as disciples. We can learn how to share God's life with others. We can help each other grow in our giftings and our callings. You know, one of the neat things about house churches to me is, you know, in a small group setting with 10 or 20 people maybe, and maybe not even that large. I've had, you know, some of my groups of times have been as small as Connie and I and two or three others, you know, and that's okay. You know, that's all right. And other times we've had 20 or 25 in our house, and that's okay too. But the beauty of it is you have this small group setting where, you know, it's safe to practice, safe to, you know, if you get a word for somebody, to give them that word and share it with them and see if you got it right. See if it makes sense to them. You know, it's a safe place. You build this level of trust and confidence with the folks. It's about building community, building relationships. That's what, you know, you heard that from everybody, that, you know, what we're about is we're about building relationships. It's a place to reinforce and expand what we're learning, you know, what we hear from the pulpit on Sundays, you know, what Tony's teaching, what Gary's teaching. Study the Word together, be able to talk about it. You know, this is a one-way communication most of the time, you know. In the small groups, we get to have two-way conversations. You know, you get to share your insights, your ideas, the things God's impressing on you about what's being taught. We get to pray for each other. Get to have others pray for you. And here's the part I think we miss a lot of times with when we talk about praying for each other, and is we miss the part about going back and testifying to what God has done, how God's responded to those prayers, right? A lot of times we hear people pray, but we never hear what happens, right? So that's one of the things I really encourage in my group is, you know, we talk about just about every time we meet is, what have you seen God do in the last 2 weeks since the last time we met? What have you seen him do in response to the prayers we've prayed? You know, Anna talked about caring for each other's needs. You know, have fun together, laugh, fellowship, eat. I don't think any of us would debate, I don't think, that these are important things in our lives as followers of Christ, you know, to have any of these things. And we incorporate a lot of them into our Sunday service. But Sundays are limited with our ability to do some of this stuff because of time, because of the number of people, the formality, if you will. Not that we're a real formal church, but you know, it's more structured. You know, meeting in a same with the same group of people over a period of time in a place, in a home, or, you know, in the kingdom or here or wherever it is. It's a smaller setting. It's more comfortable. It's less formal. You tend to build a level of trust. You tend to build a level of confidence to be able to share the stuff that's going on that's deep, you know, and personal and close to you that you maybe wouldn't share in a setting this large, right? I had somebody in my group tell me recently, unsolicited, that one of the things they really appreciate about House Church is that they know the things they share at House Church are going to stay at House Church. You know they can share things that are personal and maybe sensitive. They can share it with our group and know that it's going to stay there unless they give me permission to share it somewhere else, you know. You know, Scripture encourages us to meet together. This isn't just us saying, well, this is a good idea. We think this is a great thing to do. You know, Scripture tells us in Hebrews, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? So Scripture tells us we're to meet together. You know, you can interpret that how you want. You can take it, you know, all kinds of ways. To me, one of the implications is we need to meet together. You know, we need to meet together. This is meeting together, but I think it's also important that we meet together in smaller groups. Just from what I've experienced in my life. Let me give you a right now example of what I think is one of a great reason and a great example of why we have house churches. why they're important, why there's benefit to them, and why we encourage everybody to participate. It's a neat healing testimony from somebody in my group. Michael Cheek told me this on Friday night, and I asked his permission to share it today. Well, Michael's kind of a humble guy and doesn't like the attention, but he said I could share it. He said, okay, but keep it low key. So, okay, Michael, thanks for letting me share, and I'll try to keep it low key, but this is good stuff. Okay, so about a month or so ago at House Church, we were taking prayer requests. I write them down. I send them out to the group in an email. I put them on our Facebook site, you know, so that the group has them, knows what to pray for over the next couple of weeks. You know, they can keep looking at them, keep reminding themselves what people are asking for prayers for. And Michael shared that he was having some issues with his hip and his lungs. Okay, well, putting him on the list wasn't enough. So we got him to sit in a chair in the middle of the room, and we laid hands on him and prayed for healing. Michael, being the humble guy that he is, didn't like that very much, but he accommodated, and he was willing to let us pray for him. We prayed for him. We finished our meeting. You know, 2 weeks later, Michael comes back. We have a house church, and he shared that he was having some more, was going to have some more tests done, but they were telling him he was going to have a hip replacement. So we put him in the middle again, and we prayed for him again. And Friday night, we ran into Michael and Ardell. Denise and I, we were at an event. Ramon was playing his trumpet at an art gallery opening. And so we went to support Ramon, and Michael and Ardell were there. And Michael, first thing he says to me when I walked up is, says, hey, thanks for praying for me. Okay. And he proceeded to tell me that another doctor had gotten involved, had looked at his records, looked at the MRIs, looked at the x-rays, all that good stuff. He couldn't explain it, but there's no reason to do a hip replacement. He needed some lubrication in the joint, and they gave him a shot, did a minor procedure. He's good to go. You know, that was so cool. I mean, that was so encouraging to me. Two things I wanted you to hear in this. God is alive, he's active, and he's in the business of healing. Okay? All glory goes to him for this. You know, and Michael acknowledged, you know, thank you for praying for me. God has done this for me. You know, and I just think that is so cool. And now we're pressing in to pray for Michael's lungs, okay? The second thing I want you to hear is God is sovereign. He could have done this healing for Michael without us. We did not need to be involved. You know, God can do whatever he wants. You know, Tony talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, God's sovereign. He doesn't answer to anybody, right? But the house church setting provided a venue where Michael was willing to put himself out there, and even though it was uncomfortable for him, it provided a small group venue where he was willing to sit there and let us pray for him. You know, and if you know Michael at all, I don't think he would have done that anywhere else. That's just Dean's opinion. But because it's a small group, gave him that opportunity. And I think we all need to recognize that those opportunities exist. Another thing that I thought as I was putting the finishing touches on this last night or yesterday afternoon, another thing that struck me was the second time we prayed for Michael was the Wednesday before Tony taught about contending for healing wells. I thought, coincidence? I think not. You know, it's amazing to me to see the way God orchestrates stuff and lines it up for us to help us get the message. because sometimes I'm not so bright, and I don't see it that you're here at the first time. At our elders meeting in January, we were looking at the calendar. We put together, you know, we were putting the calendar together for the next few months, and we were looking at where are we going to put House Church Sunday. We put it here, and we put me on the teaching schedule. Of course, I knew part of my focus was going to be talking about house churches. Okay, fair enough. But within a few days, I also knew that part of this was going to be talking about actively pursuing God. So I wrote down some thoughts and ideas for this, and I've been, you know, making notes over the last few months. And then I started hearing from Pastor Tony's teachings some of the same things that I've been writing down in my notes. Okay? So in the last three sermons from Tony, he's been talking about our role in partnering with God to bring the supernatural kingdom of God here, right? And the scripture he started with on the first teaching was, he started with James 1:22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Then, a few weeks later, Linda Howard was here last month, and she talked about tithing and giving to God. And one of the points she made about that, you know, tithing isn't about the money as much as it is about of us giving of ourselves to God, and how God will pour out blessing if we will start doing, you know, we'll start doing stuff. Carl talked about it this morning, you know, just giving of ourselves. And God will honor that, you know, if we'll do our part and give and participate. You know, everything I think of, when I think about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, it means I have to be actively doing something. You know, our church mission statement, encounter God, love people, share life. Encounter, love, share. Those are all action words. Those are all things I have to do. Right? I can't do those without actively moving, actively doing, actively participating, right? We can't just be spectators. And my house church gets, I know they get sick of me saying this, but because I say it to them all the time. But we can't just spectate. We got to participate. We got to be active. We got to be doing something. You know, being a Christ follower is not a passive thing. It's an active thing we have to be doing. Last Sunday, Christy Rainier had during one of the worship songs when we were doing the worship Sunday last week, shared a word about God running after us, you know, running after us passionately, not just casually jogging along, you know, but he's coming hard after us, you know. And I'm sitting back there, I was in the sound booth, and I'm sitting back there thinking, well, if God's coming hard after me, where am I going? Am I running back towards him, or am I running the other way? You know, or am I just hanging out waiting for him to catch me? We've got to have that passion for pursuing God. And I think house churches is a part of that. You know, for me, house church helped set me up for some of that. Well, okay, Dean, that's all nice, and those are all good words, good ideas, but participating in the house church means I got to give up an evening, another evening in my already busy week. I've got to give up 3 or 4 hours, and, you know, I'm already ridiculously busy. Peace, I get it. We're all busy. We all tend to be busy. The challenge, the question you got to ask yourself is, what are we busy doing? And where does it fit in your priorities of what's important? Where does house church, where does your ministry fit relative to all the other things you're busy doing? Are they less important? And maybe there's no consequence for us not coming to church, or, you know, there's no visible consequence, no physical consequence in some cases. You know, if we blow off a doctor's appointment these days, they'll charge you, even if you don't go to the appointment. Well, if you don't come to church, well, nobody's going to be coming knocking at your door asking you to, you know, where's your tithe this week, or, you know. But, you know, are our church commitments less important? So we let other things overtake them. Or maybe you think your presence doesn't, your participation doesn't matter. You know, I'm not important. I don't have anything to contribute. 1 Corinthians 12, and this will be a familiar scripture, and it's a little bit long, so but let me read it. 14 to 19, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And here's what I want you to catch. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Catch in verse 18 that it says, just as he desired. God, as he desired, has put each of you in this community of believers, and we have a role and a purpose. You know, maybe now say, okay, well, what's the body we're talking about? Well, maybe it's your church. You know, maybe it's here. It's your house church. Is it your ministry? Is it your family? Is it your job? God's put you in all kinds of roles and all kinds of places. You know, the challenge is fulfilling that role that God's given us. And if you're not there, if you're not participating, you can't fulfill the role, right? And you miss out, potentially, on the opportunities to bless others or be blessed by them. If you're not there, if you're not in the body, if you're not doing your part, if you're not participating. You know, it's easy to look, you know, let's take church. It's easy to look on a Sunday and see, you know, pastors up here, see the worship team up here, and to recognize that if Tony got up on, you know, Tony decides, well, I didn't get to sleep in yesterday, so I'm going to take off today and I'm going to sleep in. And he doesn't show up for church on Sunday. Or the worship team decides, hey, we need a beach day. Let's go to the beach instead of going to church. You know, we need some fellowship as a team. Sound good? Yeah. Yeah, we'd manage. You know, service would go on. Pastor Gary or one of the elders would step up and teach. You know, maybe we'd have to use recorded music for worship, but we'd get by, right? But the body would suffer. The service would suffer because of those people being missing from their role. Okay, now that's an extreme example because they're very visible, right? And you may think your participation and role don't matter, but again, based on that scripture, I don't think that's true. You know, my understanding of that scripture is that your role does matter. You are part of this body. And here's the rub. Your participation is your choice. You choose whether you want to participate, whether you want to be part of that body or not, whether you want to fulfill your role. You know, it's the same in your family, in your job, in your ministry. It's the same in house churches. You know, the question I think you got to ask yourself is, am I too busy to bless others or to be blessed by them? Because that's the potential, right? That's the potential that you're missing out on. I know for me, I'll take every blessing I can get, you know. And the other, I gave you the list at the beginning of the, you know, what's in it for me as it relates to house churches. You know, again, why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want those things in your life? Joshua 24:15 says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, continuing on in the context of being too busy to give up more time for these church things, I'd like you to consider, what are you busy doing? And how does it compare to serving the Lord and being partnering with Him and bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth? You know, that's what Tony's been talking about for his last three sermons. Have been about, you know, partnering with God, our role in creating, you know, having the attitude, creating the atmosphere, you know, empowering the church to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And it isn't just about church. It's not just about house church. It's everything we do every day. You got to think about, you know, with each action, with each reaction, with every word I speak, what am I doing and who am I serving by doing it? Is it going to have a positive or negative impact on the kingdom of God? You know, those are pretty lofty questions to try to weigh in on every time you do something, you say something, you know, it's like, but we got to put that in our mindset. We need to be thinking about those things. You know, how are we impacting? What are we impacting by the things we say, the things we do? And again, it comes down to a choice. You choose how you want to speak, how you want to react to a situation. It's your choice. You know, being a follower of Christ means I have to be following. You can't follow by just sitting there, right? You can't sit still and follow. Okay, Jesus, we'll see you later. You know, it doesn't work. We can't pursue Him if we're standing still. You can't. It's just not the way it works. It's just not, you know, Tony had a physics lesson for us the other week. You know, physically, you can't do it. You can't stand still and be passive and pursue God and follow Him. The elders' meeting a few weeks ago, Pastor Gary said something to the effect of, "There's many ways to move forward, but only one way to stand still." And I thought, wow, Gary, that's pretty profound. Well, this teaching's been stirring in my spirit for a couple of months. So that's, you know, it struck me and I wrote it down. I made a note about it. And I thought, wow, Gary, that's pretty cool. And I was going to give him credit for it, but I looked it up and it's a quote from FDR. It's a quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Just the way he said it when he said it in the context, it just made me think, I don't know if that's really Gary's thought. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt's quote is, "There are many ways of going forward, but only one way of standing still." Don't stand still in your pursuit of God. That's, you know, that's the basic message. And as it relates to church, as it relates to house church, there's others that are in that same pursuit. Let's help each other. Right? That's what community life is about. Building relationships. There's other people that are pursuing that same God, who are pursuing that same, going down that same road. let's help each other in that pursuit. Your challenge, should you choose to accept it, and you should, by the way, is be a participant, not a spectator. You know, whether it's your church, whether it's house church, whether it's your family, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your work, let's partner with God in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And let's use those groups that we have, those resources that are available to us to help us. I'll leave you with one last scripture. It's Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I really encourage you, if you're not part of a house church, to consider it, to seek one out, to find out more about them. We actually do, for a church our size, we actually do pretty well with house church participation. But I encourage you, if you're not in a group, check them out. And if you're looking for one, visit a couple of them until you find one that suits you. Gary's group is unique that it has childcare. Carl's group is unique that it meets every week. With a real hard focus on prayer. So find a group that fits what's right for you. I've been part of house churches for years and years and years and years. And, they're hugely beneficial in my life and my walk as a Christian. And I suspect, I hope, I pray that they would be in yours. I'm done.